We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. Shifting gears to Penn State hoops, Penn State basketball in the semifinals of the National Invitational Tournament, the NIT. Jeff Brown, our good friend, here to bring us up to speed on a win over Marquette and what lies ahead. Jeff, we were just talking about it off air. We are still talking Penn State basketball. It's not the big prize a lot of people wanted, but they're still playing.
Isn't it wonderful? And yeah, not to say I told you so, but yeah, I told you so.
You did. I'm going to have to go back through the transcripts of all of our shows and find out what you told us about, and whether I told you so is always going to be a good thing if there are some bad ones along the way.
Well, you know, I'm usually very negative as far as Penn State sports are concerned.
You're down on them. I know, it comes through.
But isn't it great to see these guys playing this way, especially without Mike Watkins, and then you get the curveball of Bostic not being available for a game, and but they still keep rolling along.
Yeah, let's start right there, because one of the probably the most consistent theme we've had on the show is just wondering if Penn State's depth was good enough. You know, and so clearly, you know, they're working around it, to put it that way. There's usually two or three of them who are playing the full 40 minutes in games. But like we mentioned, there's been enough time between games that they've been able to minimize that. But that's what makes it even more amazing. Yeah, it's the NIT, but they're still playing. They went through the Big Ten tournament the same way, too. Pretty amazing that they're still playing basketball, even though the little bit of depth they did have has been absolutely put to the test.
Yeah, and it'll be put to the test this week as well. You know, I'm going to say when they beat Mississippi State, they have to turn around and play in the championship game on Thursday. That might be tough because Tony Carr did not sit down last game at all. And in addition to that, I don't think Shep did either.
Shep did
so
not.
So you've got your two main scorers who played the entire game.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, as they are going to have to do a little bit of a tighter turnaround, if that's going to hold up. I think that, you know, Lamar Stevens played full 40 minutes against Marquette, played them pretty well, too. They win 85-80 there, and it's just interesting with the NIT, you know, having to go and face a higher-seeded team and having to do it on the road for the second straight week. They did it against Notre Dame. They did it against Marquette, and here they are in the semifinals.
It's been gratifying. It really is, and especially for Shep Garner. I'm so happy for him that, you know, he's getting to go out in style. He set the record for most threes in a season because they were able to get into a tournament and be able to move on. And he's kind of showing the world the kind of scoring that he was and could be. And I'm sure he's setting himself up for some future prospects as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And going back to the depth conversation. So Josh Reeves misses time in the middle part of the season. It seems like as a result of that, Shep Garner's role came to life a little bit more. He had to emerge and play and be a better player, and I think he did that. And then so Josh Reeves comes back, and now Shep Garner has continued that. I'm always interested to see, you know, what the silver linings are whenever you have these issues. And there's some other examples as well. John Hara right now with Mike Watkins out, starting to show that maybe he's going to come into his own a little bit. This experience he's getting in a postseason setting, maybe not the postseason setting, but a postseason setting, has opportunity to really pay off, especially if you look at Mike Watkins as maybe a guy who leaves early.
Yeah, where did he come from? You know, there were stretches of games where he never got into the game during the regular season. And frankly, I was starting to look at the freshman class with Jamari Wheeler and saying, maybe Wheeler's the only player of importance they're going to get out of that recruiting class. And then all of a sudden, Watkins goes down. I thought Julian Moore would get the bulk of the minutes. He hasn't. I'm not quite sure what happened as far as practice is concerned. But, wow, Hara came out of nowhere, and he's been playing really solid basketball.
Well, those two combined, you know, against Marquette, 14 rebounds between them, seven all on the offensive glass. You know, they're going to do the job. They're not Mike Watkins. I don't think you're going to see them be consistent double-figure scorers or anything like that. But I don't think anybody's asking them to do that. I don't think anything's asking them to be something that they're not.
All they've got to do is clear the boards and get it out to the other guys, get it in Tony's hands, get it in Shep's hands, and let things go from there. So, yeah, you've got Reeves playing consistently well, and the other guys stepping up on offense to try to make up for the loss of Watkins, and you know, they found a winning combination. Now, would we like to have Mike Watkins back? Oh, my goodness, yeah. But you know, since he's out, and who knows whether Bostic's going to play or not, it remains to be seen who's going to have to step up, but they've all done such a great job of just being the next man up.
Everybody knows the formula here, Jeff. Now, you looking at the Marquette game, for example, Penn State took 58 shots total, made 31 of them. Stevens, Carr, and Garner combined for 48 of those 58 shots. You know where the offense is coming from.
Oh, exactly. It's no surprise in that. I guess that's what's kind of surprised me, you know, especially with Marquette, is they were getting some really good looks and some really good open shots, and Marquette has to know that it's basically a three-man offense.
Yeah, what does Penn State do with that? You know, these guys are they all do something a little bit different, though. You know, I think that's the thing. If you're going to have three guys who are going to do the bulk of your scoring, you have the inside-outside combination. Lamar Stevens against Marquette with those 30 points, 14 out of 22 from the floor. I think you've seen this it's become more than flashes. I think you've started to see the best of Lamar Stevens a little bit more often. And, you know, to me, as you know, we're talking about the NBA and wondering what's going to happen on that front and all that. Lamar Stevens is a central figure to maybe be, is he going to be, can he be a centerpiece or not? And I think you started to be able to answer that question that he can be.
Oh yeah, he's made great strides there, and nobody wants to lose Tony Carr, but I don't think it's quite as dire as maybe everybody's making it out to be. If you got Miles Dredd coming in, you know, he takes care of the 3-point shooting and the sharp shooting. Jamari Wheeler could be an excellent point guard, and the offense could suddenly be built around Lamar Stevens.
Yeah, I think he's proven that he can do it. Really, a different player. And Tony Carr, really, but I was so impressed by him the times that I've watched him. Just he's just a big time player, and he strikes me as a guy that if his number is called more often, he'll be ready for it.
And he never gets rattled. That's the thing. You know, the games that I've seen them play, and they've been in some dire straits every once in a while. He never gets rattled. It's just like he's got this confidence. He knows what the game plan is. He knows his role, and he plays it to the nth degree.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking some Penn State basketball. Going into the NIT semifinals against Mississippi State, Jeff Brown's on the line with us, looking at, you know, what all has happened to this point. You know, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind. I think there's – I don't know how people are feeling, what the sentiment is, but how do you think a run through the NIT, no matter when it ends, whether it ends Tuesday night or whether it ends, you know, as a NIT champion or whatever, how should and how do fans feel about the run that Penn State is making? Is it relevant to most people, do you think?
Boy, that's a great question. And yeah, easily half the people will say no. If it's not the NCAAs, it doesn't really matter. I don't know. They've been playing some great competition. Notre Dame is a great team. Marquette was a good team. Mississippi State is going to be a tremendous challenge for them tomorrow night. So, to me, watching Penn State all these years, any postseason tournament is a good postseason tournament at this point. You know, they had to take baby steps. They had to move along. And so I'm very happy with where they are. If they lose tomorrow night, I'm still very happy. They did themselves proud. Go back to when they were 3-5, and they lost to Ryder, and everybody wanted Patrick Chambers' head, and everybody's like, oh, typical Penn State basketball, and all that other stuff. And then flash forward to those crowds over 10,000, and the Jordan Center going crazy, and it was deafening in there. I think they're definitely on the roll in the right track, and I guess I kind of feel bad for Penn State fans who say it's NCAA or nothing, because they're missing a heck of a spring.
They're the ones leaving nasty comments anonymously all over the internet too, maybe. the trolls, so to speak. Yeah, I think what you've seen is a degree of validation and a perception of the program start to change. Pat was on with us a few weeks ago and asked about being on the hot seat or whatever. He said, "I'm always on the hot seat." You know, I was trying to find out, you know, just as a coach to kids who are young, and as a father, as a husband, what it's like for the people around you, more so than you, that you know what you're getting into, but the people around you having to shield your team from. And the other interesting thing he said that I thought they've started to take care of is the being on the bubble and having the expectations change and all that kind of stuff. He said it was really hard to keep the team centered and focused one game at a time down the stretch, but you've seen it all come together for him. And I think that, you know, the NIT, no matter what you feel about it being a consolation prize, the formula that Chambers has is working. The personality of the team is capable of, you know, the way that they're aggressive and the way that they defend is capable of, they're doing just about anything. So I think that, and the other part was effort in this situation is always the key. I think there's some character that shines through for these teams that are still playing that are disappointed. They could have just as easily been 10 seeds in the NCAA tournament.
Right. There's a couple other points. I agree with everything you said, but there's a couple of other points that people may be missing out on. All these games, even if you think they're insignificant, these are all games that are building them for next year. Yeah, and this is all you know, the cherry and the whipped cream on top of the dessert, is because they're getting to play all these extra games, and not only are they playing extra games, they're playing against teams that are as good, if not better, than them. And that's going to show next year, and that's going to build character with these guys. And the other point is, at least for me, I've got more confidence in them. You know, I don't think it's going to be, oh God, they're, you know, the lead went from 10 to 5, they're going to lose this game. You know, I don't think that way anymore, and obviously they don't either, because it doesn't matter if they had a 12-point lead and the other team whittles it down to 4. These guys are finding a way to build that back up again, and that's invaluable. So I can't see any downside whatsoever in playing the NIT, because it's going to pay big dividends next year.
I think Penn State needed a culture-changing team, both inside the locker room and outside. And this, no matter what happens against Mississippi State Tuesday night or beyond, I think they've got that. That's Jeff Brown. He's the whipped cream and the cherry on this ice cream sundae of a show of ours. That's it for us for this edition. Always check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Go download the Keystone Sports app.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.